You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify. It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's time to remember this crap about the L.A. San Diego L.A. Chargers with crap expert Mike Donahue. Mike, how are you?
I forgot they were originally in L.A. Good call. Great, Andy. Thanks.
That's going to be my first question for you is, have the Bears ever played the Los Angeles Chargers before?
Never, because they went to I gotta say they went to San Diego briefly. I don't mean to jump the rails right away, but I swear to God, we had talked last year. We talked about the Rams, and we talked about the whole fraudulent idea of what were their linemen called? The fearsome foursome.
The fearsome foursome. They had like,
but that there was actually a history. There was actually a history of the fearsome foursome that started with the New York Giants supposedly in the 50s.
Yep.
But it somehow wound its way to the AFL, and I guess it was the Chargers, but I don't know if it was Los Angeles or San Diego. I was trying to angle for some sort of PR angle because they were in Southern California. But, yeah, how long were they in Los Angeles? 2 years?
One.
3 years? Just one.
Just their first year, and they moved to San Diego.
Okay.
1960, and the teams did not play until 1970.
So they were a charter AFL franchise because not all AFC those teams were. Like the Patriots. So 1970, the Bears in charge for the first time, which would have been the very first year of the that all those teams comprised the NFL. Was Johnny Unitas a Charger by then? Oh, that always seemed weird, right? Black and white films, Johnny Unitas in like the 58 championship game, and then all of a sudden you're like, how long did that guy play?
Yeah.
For the Chargers.
He had like real, he had like Harry could comb. When he played
well, Harry could set a watch to, though, according to Grandpa Simpson, of course.
Do you know who the first owner of the L.A. San Diego Chargers was?
It wasn't Dean Spanos?
It was not. It would be Paris Hilton's grandpa?
Oh, you're kidding. Connie?
Aaron? Conrad? Conrad.
Well, in Mad Men, Don, if you, I'm sure you're up on your Mad Men. This sort of inserted a fictionalized Conrad Hill. Was it Conrad or no? His son. Who was it?
It was his son, Baron.
Baron.
Conrad
was the founder.
Guy.
Yeah. He's the source.
Chelsea Ross.
Progenitor.
Got to play Baron.
Chelsea Ross, right. Good call.
So wait a minute. This might be. Is this
Connie's
dad?
Money?
No. Okay. No. Connie would have been her grandpa. That'd be Paris. Baron was grandpa. Yeah, Conrad would have been grandpa.
Okay. Yeah. In case Connie's money.
Oh, yes.
Much like the Ricketts' money is Tom's, the Cubs' money is Tom. You know, he was a Nepo baby, but or trust fund baby or whatever. I guess I didn't know this. So young Hilton takes the old man's, takes his lumps, his portion of the hotel fortune, his share, and gets in the AFL game. Interesting.
Yeah. So Sid Gilman was their first head coach.
Okay. Yeah. Coached former NFL great, I believe.
Coached them from 1960 to 1969 and then came back and coached them for part of 1971.
Okay. So, wait, he was an interim coach too?
Well, I don't know why he did this. It's weird. Because, both Sid Gilman and the great Harland Svare are listed as the coaches in 1971. But it's hard to tell why Sid.
Who was the coach in 70? Harlan? Whatever his name was?
Charlie Waller coached him in 69 and 70.
Okay.
And then Harland Svare coached him for 2 years. And then Charlie's brother, Ron, coached them in 1973.
Oh,
it's actually not true.
Sid Gilman.
I looked it up. They're not brothers. But it's weird that they had coaches, one coach apart, just 2 years apart. With the same last name.
Wow. I feel like Sid Gilman was the first coach in New Orleans history, but I don't think that tracks unless the Saints' first year is in 69.
Well, maybe that's where he went. Let's see.
It's not. So I don't know. He did take some time off and come back, and then he also went on to Houston. But I feel like...
We know where he went after Houston.
No.
He was Sid? 1977, he was the offensive coordinator of your Chicago Bears.
Is that right?
Yes.
I don't know that I knew that. He was a Jack Pardee's offensive coordinator for the first Bears team to make the playoffs in 14 years. Yeah. Maybe I didn't know that.
Drawing up plays for Walter Payton.
Yeah.
He only did it for the 1 year. And they said, fuck that, I'm retired. And then a year later, he came back and he was quarterback coach for the Eagles for 2 years.
Maybe Ron Jaworski may have actually trolled the sidelines there, and I guess it would be Super Bowl 14. 15? Super Bowl 15. Saints' first coach, by the way, was not Sid Gilman. Tom Fears, same era. I just remember some old NFL films reference rambling around in my head. No, sorry, Sid Gilman.
So
long run with the Chargers. Did they win any AFL championships in the 60s? My football reference always freezes, but
no. Sid only coached him in four playoff games, and they only won one.
Okay.
Five, and they won one. On the Wikipedia page for Sid Gilman, though, they have somebody took the time. They literally made his coaching tree. It's like an org chart. And there are some Bear coaches on the coaching tree.
I confess, I did not know the Sid Gilman tree was a thing.
Well, here are the guys who coached under him directly, and then you can see why there'd be a coaching tree. So George Allen is not a former
under Gilman after Hallis, I would think, but okay.
Al Davis.
Wow.
Chuck Knox, Don Coryell, Dick Vermeil. And Chuck Knoll,
all coached
with Sid. So then you go one row lower, like the Al Davis, you get John Madden.
Oh yeah,
Tom Flores, Art Shell, and Bill Walsh.
Then that's a whole other
Coryell, you get Joe Gibbs. Knoll, you get Dungy. So then if you go down the thing, like under the Bill Walsh tree, you get such great Bear coaches as just one, John Fox. In a half-assed way, because he coached with Jim Fossil, who coached for Bill. under under Dungy though. So under from Noel to Dungy, you get Lovey.
Okay.
Here's a. So you go.
So you're saying you go Lovey Gilman is 2 degrees away.
Yeah. If you go Gilman to Al Davis to Bill Walsh to Mike Holmgren. Then you get you get all the greats. You get Marty Morenweg.
Yep.
You get Ray Rhodes.
Ray Rhodes.
You get John Gruden. But then if you go, you get Andy Reid. And then if you go off of Andy Reid, then you get
Matt Nagy.
Yes, you get Matt Nagy. You get Chico Rivera.
What? How does Andy Reid take credit for that? He was Buddy Ryan.
Didn't Chico go there? He was the defensive coordinator for them after the Bears.
I thought
before
he was
the Bears. He coached for them either right before or right after he came to the Bears.
He should be on the Wani tree, I believe. No,
the Wani tree is a stick,
like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
All right, well, we've gone out of order here. We're throwing people off.
No, that's all right. Sid Gilman very much a part of that Chargers DNA. He's a goddamn coach for like 12 out of the first 13 years.
Well, yeah, I mean they have a direct. Obviously, you go Gilman and Don Coryell.
And then you find yourself with Ernie Zampezi. Yeah. I just fucked that name out of the air. I feel like he was a Don Coryell acolyte, Ernie Zampezi.
Maybe he was never a head coach, so I couldn't look him up.
No, I guess not. I guess that's what constitutes a coaching tree. I just remember some of the hot coordinators.
So all time, the teams have played 13 times. Who do you think leads the series?
Oh, boy. In our lifetime, I'm just going to try to quit. I always think of that upset on NBC with a crappy Bears team beat Dan Fouts, but I would say, I don't know. It's got to be San Diego.
Nope, it's the Bears. 7-6.
It is.
Yep. Let's see. In fact, they have won.
So there's no way they won the game in 1970. The Bears were horrible, but maybe the Chargers were a tool. Right?
The Bears lost. 20-7.
Okay,
beautiful. Wait a minute. Were they at Beautiful Soldiers Field? Or were they?
That could have been Dyke Stadium. That could have been your Mike Norris dad with the with the haphazard Bears mascot. It's going, fuck, crying out loud.
Let's see, guys. I guess the greatest. Let's see here. Where did they play?
I don't think they played a lot all their games at Dyke in 1970 anyway. I don't think they moved into Soldier in 71. Okay, but
Charlie
they played
Waller
some games at Dyke.
Out-dueled Jim Dooley.
Okay. The Chargers have to be one of the very few AFL teams to have ever played in Wrigley Field because the merger basically coincided with 1 year overlap. That's the only year that they would have been there. So, interesting for me.
Yeah, the quarterback for the Chargers was in that game?
Was it Unitas?
It was not. It was John Hadle.
John Hadle?
Yes.
From Notre Dame? That was the second guess.
Isn't there some weird... I hate the camera, and I looked quickly at his page. I can't find it. He has some association to somebody. Shouldn't even brought it up. There's a John Hadle connection that I thought I remembered. I didn't. How about this? You know what number he wore?
5?
He was good old 21. You got to like quarterback wearing number 21.
Yeah, it could have been 5, because as we know, that's retired for one and only one person, George McAfee.
That's right. And what number was Rolf Benerschke, though? Huh?
6.
I mean, I know McAfee, they retired it across the league.
Right.
You can't. No, there are no 5s anymore because of Bear Great, George McAfee.
All I thought was
Rolf
Benerschke
was 3. I picture 3. I picture the colostomy bag sticking out of. And I don't want to get to. I don't want to get to Rolf until we get to Rolf.
We're not there yet.
Who do you think was playing quarterback for the Bears? Oh, this is quite a matchup. John Hadle and
Bobby Douglas.
Oh.
Bobby Douglas.
Jack Kincannon.
Good old number 11. Yep.
Yep.
It was bleak times for the Bears.
Oof. He played how many years for the Bears? 5?
No, I don't think that many. They went through. It was kind of like today's era, except much more abbreviated.
67-71.
Yeah.
He was the starter in 67. and in 70. And he played. Really... He had some great records. He was he started 5 games in 1969. Lost them all.
It seems very like Shane Matthews, Bob Avellini asked to like be the start the most games in like one season and then another season like 3 years later. For teams that sucked.
Hadel. How does this work? Oh, I see. I was looking at this. Hadel was 10 for 14, 166 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then I looked down and Bambi caught 6 for 96.
Ooh, and then Gary Garrison,
the great Gary Garrison, sounds like a serial killer, 8 for 165 and 2 touchdowns. I'm like, what the hell? This math isn't going to work. Then I realized that Marty Domries, whoever that is, 6 of 11 for 110 yards. They played two quarterbacks that day. Good old number 14 from Columbia. And I don't know if it's the Ivy League or the like the graphic design school in Chicago.
Or just Columbia, South America.
That's true. Yeah, just they threw him out of an airplane. Just get across the border and just throw it. The guys will pick him up. Don't worry about it.
Hey, you know they're still coming out of the AFL. They were. Wouldn't be too choosy. So did they play again in 73? Because that would be the logical next time.
No, they played again in 74.
Oh, interesting.
And it was a barn burner.
Was it at Soldiers Field or Jack Murphy Stadium?
The only stadium named after a sports writer.
Good point.
We heard that. Didn't we hear that every time there was a game there?
Not enough for it to really leave an impression on my brain, to be honest with you. But
and it was not named after him yet. It was San Diego Stadium. But Jack's probably still working. I'm naming it after him while he's working. What is this? Not Harold Baines.
Sports writer.
Tommy Prothrow was coaching the Chargers against Abe Gibron, the handsome Abe Gibron.
Sure.
And the
belt.
Chargers outdueled the Bears. Oh, it's a comeback. 14 points in the fourth quarter to win 28-21.
Too bad. That might have helped the Bears secure Walter Payton, by the way, because I believe they had the third pick in the next year's draft. Yeah,
that worked. Bobby Douglas, 14 of 25, 136 yards. 2 picks. And he ran 8 times for 42 yards.
Yeah, pretty much a nadir.
This is the Bears skill position guys. It's a who's who, or it's more like a who. Bo Rather,
number 84, I believe.
Ken Granberry ran 11 times for 46 yards.
Yeah, I remember the name.
Perry Williams, 12 for 41. Gary Cousins, not like Kirk Cousins, Kosins. Cliff Taylor, and then the wide receivers Charlie Wade and Wayne Wheeler. Not Wayne.
Nope. Oh. Not Wayne the place Wayne, kicker term future Wayne CBS Wheeler. Color guy.
The Chargers were led by the great Jesse Freitas. 9 of 19, 56 yards and 2 touchdowns. But they didn't have much offense.
I feel like the Chargers were probably bad around this time. But what do I know?
They were both the Bears came in 4-8. The Chargers were 3-9. And so they both left 4-9.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Exciting. Then they matched up again, 1978.
Still no recollection. I'm not reaching bear sentience yet.
Let's see where this was. See if it was Jack Murphy yet. They played in San Diego. What was the name of the stadium?
It was still Jack Murphy because it was Jack Murphy when the Cubs played there. Oh, you're saying it might not have yet been Jack Murphy.
Yeah, I wonder if it had been named that yet.
Yeah.
It is. Oh, it helps if I hit the right button. Dun, dun, dun. San Diego Stadium.
Interesting.
This is a matchup the coaching may have slightly bent with the Chargers. Don Coryell Neil against Neil Armstrong.
Oh, Coryell.
Neil's still acclimatizing to Earth's gravity.
Correct.
Should have left him
on the moon.
It was 23-0 at halftime, and the Chargers went on to win 40-7.
John Jefferson in this game, or no? Was he not yet on the scene?
Oh, he was there.
He was a rookie, I bet.
He didn't play very well, though. Okay. He only caught 7 passes for 155 yards and a touchdown.
So this is kind of like the beginning of San Diego's first meaningful era. Now, this is because we know what's coming next because we lived through it, although they never reached the summit. But the teams that we saw were always really good. And like we've kind of picked through almost 2 decades of, you know, some random AFL playoff appearances and not much else. But when you mentioned Don Coryell is already in place now by 78, and then John Jefferson and was Fouts quarterback in 78?
Dan Fouts. Okay. 16 of 24, 269 yards. James Harris was the backup. He got in.
Oh, good. That's a good backup to have.
3 of 5 for 63 yards and a touchdown.
He had taken – was he – that the Rams quarterback that had kept – the Rams are always the bridesmaid in the NFC, I think.
Yes.
They're moving on to Pat Hayden and Vince Ferragamo. Okay. So, yeah, that's a good Chargers
1975, James Harris started 13 games for the Rams. He was 11-2.
Yeah. No, that's an underrated – that's a Rams team I didn't even know about till more recently. It was always the Vikings and Cowboys in the 70s, and which whatever team would knock out the Rams in the championship game, it wasn't each other.
But the real story of this 40-7 game was the incredible quarterbacking, not one, not two, but three Chicago
We have
Bears.
A Pipsilini? Yes, we have a Pipsilini? There are only like 5 in history, so I feel like we should spin a wheel or something.
Yeah, Bob Avellini, 2 for 12 for 25 yards and an interception. Mike Phipps, 2 for 3 for 9 yards. And Vince Evans, 1 of 2 for 38 yards. Should have played Vince, obviously.
I cannot even tell you, Andy, how excited I am because I actually did sit down. It didn't take as long as you'd think, but I did try to see because in my memory it seemed like there were hundreds of games where all three of those clowns played. There were only like 6 or 7. It just felt like the whole era. Vince Fipsilini, and so I'm very pleased that we just unearthed a Vince Fipsilini, where all three of those guys got in the same game. You know, Phipps had been acquired in that season, I believe. So he was would have been relatively new because. You know, he ended up being the guy that would be their quarterback in the playoff game the next year. Bob Avellini, of course, having been the guy that led them to the playoffs the year before this game, a brief denouement or whatever how you pronounce it for the Bears, where they made 2 playoffs appearances in 3 years but lost both of them.
They would face off again at beautiful Soldiers Field. In 1981,
bringing Don Kroenke,
and Neil Armstrong would get his revenge.
Yes, he would.
Bears won but in overtime.
Well, we've covered this game multiple times. This is really, you know, the hero here is not Neil Armstrong. It's who?
John Rivetto.
You got it right. I mean, how else can we defeat the Leviathan that is the Dan Fouts and now John Jefferson would have been still there, I think. I can't remember. But they had Kellen Winslow, who was like a wide receiver tight end. And then they had they replaced Jefferson with Wes Chandler. They had Charlie Joyner. Like they had and then they had Chuck Muncy in the back.
Chuck Muncy
how the hell the Bears win that game. Right. And his goggles, his specs, his I mean, this is a Bears team that would like bottom out. One of the historical nadirs that finished last. Armstrong would get fired. It would actually kick off the Ditka era, the one brief glory age that we had. It's just hysterical that, meanwhile, here are the Chargers, who that season, I believe, went all the way to the conference title game before losing to the Bengals. Would actually fucking lose to the sad sack team. So do remember watching it, though. Very unlikely.
This was October 25th. The weather was – it was fine. It was 39 degrees. Hey. Wind was 9 miles an hour. But listen to Dan Fouts' line. Now, he threw for 295 yards with 2 touchdowns. He was 13 of 43. He threw 30 incompletions. He threw 2 – well, 2 of those were interceptions. But Jesus.
Wow. By the way, you said that game was October 25th?
Yeah.
So we are actually celebrating the 32nd anniversary.
That's the whole reason for this podcast.
Very, very unlikely upset.
So this is Buddy, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's
funny. Sicking the boys on poor little Dan Fouts.
I think as bad as the Bears were, more bad than good between even like 77 and 84, they had the two playoff appearances, but they always, I think they really did usually have a pretty good defense. You know, in 1981, Singletary's a rookie, Hampton's in his third year. I think Todd Bell was on the team. Buddy was the coach. You know, they still had guys like Jim Osborne and Mike Hartenstein. You know, Gary Campbell. Fensick. That was so. Yeah, as bad as they, as forlorn as they would be, sometimes if they were healthy and you know they were feeling it, they could make hell even on good teams, even if their offense sucked. So for sure, yeah, they did have entertaining players on defense and Walter on offense. It was kind of a weird time.
The interceptions were by Gary Fensick and Ruben Henderson.
Yep. I was just going to throw that out there because I remember like being really high on Ruben Henderson as our cornerback, but he didn't. He ended up kind of like Les Frazier ended up being the real deal. But I was a big Ruben Henderson fan for a while.
Well, Ruben played 2 years for the Bears and then 2 years for the Chargers. So there you go.
Okay.
So John Rovetto, perfect day for John. He made both of his extra points and both of his field goals. And the 26-yarder in overtime. Now, the kicker for the Chargers that day was Rolf Benerschke.
Rolf? Yeah. Yeah.
Always a good old number six, not number three.
I said six.
Yeah, I said three.
Play the tape back.
Maybe that's what number he wore on Wheel of Fortune. So, yeah, Rolf Joachim Benerschke.
Wow.
Went to UC Davis. He went to La Jolla High School. He's a California boy.
California kid, huh? And interesting name.
He attempted, in 1981, he attempted a league-high 61 extra points. Seems like the Chargers were scoring a fair amount of points.
Yeah.
He was a Pro Bowler once. He made AP second team All Pro in 1980. He kicked the winning field goal, right, in the immortal Miami overtime,
which was this season.
Kerry Kellen Winslow off the field.
Correct. Uwe von Schaumann could not put it away from the Dolphins. They had the hook and ladder. Miami did at the end of the first half. One of the greatest, most entertaining. But at the time, it was considered one of the greatest entertaining playoff games, and it still ranks up there for sure. And yeah, Kellen Winslow, I think, blocked one of Uwe von Schaumann's field goal attempts. So not only was he just like dying on the field, catching balls and whatnot in the Miami heat. But he was blocking kicks because he was a super freak athlete. Incredible game. And, Benerschke walked it off finally with the win.
Now, Rolf was a handsome man. And but unfortunately for Rolf, in 1979, he came down with ulcerative colitis. And he had to be hospitalized. He had to have two surgeries to remove his large intestine. When he was released from the hospital. Now, he's a kicker, right? He's not supposed to be very big. He's 6 foot tall, though. He weighed 123 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not good enough. He had an ileostomy, which basically means you
put
shit in the back.
What's an ilia? Okay.
Yeah, Lee ileostomy. Not a colostomy. Swear at people. And then you shit in a bag. And he played.
Right.
He played with a colostomy bag.
Which, you know, you got to think if he had, like, sort of pulled a Garo Eupremian.
Well, why wasn't that a play, right? You want to fake a field goal. You snap it right to Rolf.
Him.
Rolf whips out the colostomy bag, points at it. Anybody's going to try to tackle him. Nobody's going to tackle Rolf. He just runs up the sidelines. You want to get my shit on you? Look how full the bag is.
Or just leave it flapping at your side. Like, who's going to want to tackle you and just, like, burst that bag?
But he had a good career.
Yeah.
And then after football, Chicago native, Pat Sajak, a Chicago native.
He's a Southwest Sider, I believe.
Yeah. He was hosting the wildly successful game show Wheel of Fortune.
After taking it from Chuck Woolery.
And he left Wheel of Fortune for 6 months in 1989. Do you know why he left Wheel of Fortune for 6 months in 1989?
I do not. Oh, yeah, his own talk show.
Yes, to host the Pat Sajak Show at 10:30 on
CBS. Wow, that was in 1989? We were in high school still. Jesus.
So who do you get to replace Pat Sajak for 6 months? You know, it's going to be years, right? Like, he's... You know, Pat's gonna be. This would be. He's gonna be.
Sure.
He's gonna knock Johnny off. Screw that. It's gonna be Pat Sajak all the time.
I was gonna say, yeah, you bring in Conan O'Brien and then get rid of him when Pat comes back.
Do you go back to the original host of Wheel of Fortune?
Chuck Woolery.
Chuck Woolery be back at 2-2. No, he's got a love connection contract. He can't come back.
Correct.
So who do you hire? Well, you hire Rolf Benerska. That's who you hire. And Rolf Benerska hosted Wheel of Fortune for 6 months, and then got a bad news one day. Pat's show got canceled. Oh, tough. That's bad news for Pat. No, Rolf. It's bad news for you. And that was the end of his...
Sorry, Rolf. I'm sure he's fine. He made a lot of money playing football.
But let's see. He was NFL Man of the Year in 1983.
Okay.
Got traded to the Cowboys in 1987, but he lost his job to rookie Vince Abbott.
And don't remember him.
That was in 1997. He was the 20th player inducted into the Chargers utility tunnel.
The Chargers Hall of Fame, right? Okay.
Which is probably not even there anymore. They probably got looted when they moved.
Right. The utility hallway of Jack Murphy Stadium.
So after the exciting win in overtime in 1981.
Yep. I remember this next game.
The next matchup came with the up and coming.
I'm going to take control. I'm going to take control of this, Andy, because I remember this game so well. It was Monday Night Football, first of all. I believe it was the first season without Howard Cosell because Don Meredith was still in the booth. Don't know who else, but – late season. I want to provide some context to this game. What's that?
December 3rd.
Yeah, late season. Bears had already won the division with Steve Fuller at quarterback, right? Because, like, you know, Bears had played the Raiders. There's a lot of some reminiscing about the most violent game ever played earlier that season. Bears-Raiders were the team with the winning quarterback. The winning team had their quarterback suffer a lacerated kidney. And McMahon didn't play again, and Fuller was the backup. Luckily, the Bears had a qualified backup. And Fuller led them to the division, and they clinched the division in Minnesota, like with five games to go or four games to go, and Dan Hampton and Steve McMichael dunked Mike Ditka with a Gatorade bucket, which I like to point out never been done before, where the Giants hijacked it the following two seasons later. Anyway, Bears are going to the playoffs. First time in 5 years, but it's like this is not a fluky Bob Avellini, Mike Phibbs. Like, this is finally thing. You can sense it. It's a good team. They clinched the fucking division with 4 weeks to go, right? And now we just got to get to the playoffs. And so they started to stumble. And I don't know. They go into Monday night. I think right after – they might have been right after they clinched the division. And Fuller gets hurt in the first quarter. Games on Monday night, and the Chargers are still good. They weren't as good. They were on the downslope of their peak by now, but it was still the Chargers. So it's a, you know, again, context. You're a Bears. I'm a 12-year-old Bears fan. Bears are rarely on Monday night because back then you really had to deserve primetime treatment, and so it was a treat. And the Bears, based on their strong finish the previous year and Ditka's second season, merited a late season Monday night game. And then it turned out to be a good matchup because the Bears were legitimately good, except for the fact that once Steve Fuller was out, we had to see Rusty Lish come into the game. Rusty was the backup all season. He was not even a standout at Notre Dame. And this is, of course, a week before the Packers game because Steve was not able to come back until the playoffs. But anyway, in this game, Rusty gamely kept the Bears in it. And I don't know the stats. I don't know the line. I just remember, you know, because you're a 12-year-old kid, you're living and dying with every play, even though the Bears won the division. And you're just like trying to stay, and the Bears defense is keeping them in the game, and it's 13-7 late, and Lish is somehow piecing together a drive. I don't know how far it got. Maybe it only got to midfield. In my head, it's at the 20-yard line, and he just got completely railed when he dropped back. Ball pops up in the air, and some fat lineman catches it and runs it back. So the final score ends up being 27, but like as the fat guys run into the end zone, you could hear Don Meredith was doing his patented the turn out the lights, the party's over shtick. And that was that. Now that's, if anything, that's just a prologue to the next week when Lish actually had to start the game against the Packers, a game that I was personally in attendance at. And Lish was so horrible that at the end of the half, we've talked about this before, but Mike Ditka literally went to Walter Payton under center for a series before putting Lish back in and then signing the 88-year-old Greg Landry. Actually, he wasn't 88 years old, just white-haired.
Yes, eternally. Completely white-haired. He looked
And then
ridiculous.
Fuller came back for the playoffs. And all that. So that's my personal off-the-cuff recollection of the Bears-Chargers 84 game, national television.
Do you remember the huge game that Dan Fouts had for the Chargers?
No.
You know why you don't remember that? Because he didn't play. Ed Luther was the quarterback. Oh. Dan was hurt. Ed Luther played quarterback. So the Rusty Lish gamely keeping the Bears in the game.
Oh, right.
Ed Luther was gamely winning the game.
On the other side. What a horrible game, as it turned out.
And I would have flexed that out if they had the chance.
Not that I knew any better. Well, nobody knew Fuller was going to get hurt.
Yeah, Ed was 12 of 29 for 269 yards and a touchdown.
Who was? Luther or Lish?
Ed Luther. Lish, Rusty was 18 of 33 for 159 yards.
Did you check? Was that Luther a Purdue quarterback? No, was that Mark Herman? Never mind. I'm thinking of Mark Herman.
Ed Luther. No, Edward Augustine Luther from Gardena, California.
Another California kid.
Went to San Jose State.
Okay. Anyway. All right, yeah, I do not remember that. That's
the only game
sense,
he won
though,
that year by the Bears for the Chargers.
Of course, if the Bears, if the 84 Bears defense, or with the 84 Bears, it had Fouts played, he would probably not have had a typical Dan Fouts game, of course. But
the Bears were basically destroyed by one man. Well, Ed, of course, but a guy who will come up, I believe, in the next game for doing something completely ridiculous.
Junior Seau was too young.
Bobby Duckworth.
Caught
three passes. You'll find out. Three passes for 179 yards. Three.
Wow.
For 179. 88-yard touchdown. The fat guy who caught the tipped interception or whatever from Rusty was Lee Williams. It was 66 yards. And Rolf came out and kicked the extra point.
Bobby or whatever his name, Kevin Duck or Bobby Duckworth's name would be he'd be erased by Kevin Duckworth as the fat 300-pound center from Eastern Illinois that played against the Bulls in 92.
Oh, maybe it already happened. Because there's no way there's too big a gap. It happened in this game. I know what happened in this game. And that's how he could have these ridiculous – because this game was at – is it at the Murph?
It was in San Diego.
Was it called the Murph yet? It was.
It had to be because it was the same. The Cubs had their dreams crushed about 60 days earlier or 50 days earlier.
Okay, so a famous moment happened in this game. One of the things that kept the Bears in the game. I mean, I'm surprised you don't remember this. Bobby caught a long pass from the great Ed Luther, and Bobby dropped the ball at the 1-yard line. Do you remember that?
I don't remember. I kind of don't. I don't.
Like he did the cool, hey, look, I'm about to score, and he dropped it at the 1.
Got a video of that.
And one of the Bears, I'm sure I can find
Mike Richardson, probably the guy who got burned.
So happened in that game. That's how you can average catch three passes for 179 yards and only one of them's a touchdown. That's how you can do it.
Yeah, and it felt that game did feel like the Bears were like just barely like hanging in the whole time. Like plays like that that give you new life, but you're like, you know, you probably shouldn't really. Even though the Bears were good, they're on the road. It was Monday night. It was weird, and they're on our third-string quarterback, and it was.
How much is a duck worth?
Monday night really has much fun for us historically.
Here we go. On the 15 biggest bloopers in NFL history on NFL.com. Number 11, Duckworth's Phantom Fumble, December 3rd, 1984, Chargers-Bears. Some plays are so strange they can't be explained. How did Chargers wide receiver Bobby Duckworth lose the ball in what seemed like a certain touchdown? So he was running into the end zone, and he got to the five-yard line, and he gave like the – he kind of put his arms up like it's too easy, and he dropped the ball.
Uh-huh.
They do not have a video of it here, but I will find it.
There's a video of this whole game, I think.
Oh, of course.
But then you'd have to, like, which is fine, I'm sure, like, in a post-production. Oh, Kellen Winslow, by the way, on crutches in this game. This game is on YouTube. Like, there's so many NFL I'm sorry. This is only the second half.
Oh.
So maybe, I don't know if Duckworth's thing is going to be on it. But it opens up with Winslow
on crutches. So Kellen Winslow played the whole game on crutches? That seems like he's taunting the Bears.
I'm telling you. He was, like, dehydrated in that Dolphins playoff game 3 years earlier. So, yeah, there's maybe probably part one is somewhere else. But, yeah, I kind of remember. I'd have to. It's somewhere in my brain. It's there. But
I know it's on, like,
Didn't jump out as much as Rusty Lish in the
Luther,
fat line.
Bill number 11.
Luther. Yeah, it was me.
Yeah, I know. I know I saw it on, like, Football Follies or something.
Yeah,
I'll try to find Bobby for the
yeah,
for
and then the I feel like the Chargers then started to enter their own dark age. This was like bouts past his prime, Winslow's on crutches, and then that's probably why they didn't play in '87.
Yeah, they did not play again. They didn't play again until 1993.
Ooh, Wannstedt's first year. That was a Sunday night game, I think, and the Bears won, right, in San Diego. It was a week after they had lost that game, you know, to the Raiders when Butler missed like a 38-yard field goal at home in overtime. But yeah, then they Sunday bounced night. Back and beat the Chargers.
Sunday night at Jack Murphy.
Mm.
And it's Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, would be. Maybe some Lewis Tillman action.
Against the great John Freeze.
Wow.
Now that's worth the Sunday night.
Was he an old Seahawks quarterback too or no?
I think he did play for the Seahawks.
Wow.
He did. He played for the Chargers, the then Redskins, the Seahawks, and the Patriots. Although
incredible.
Kind of generous to say he played for the Patriots. He played in two games, threw 11 passes in 2 years. Chargers had rather large running backs. Do you remember Natron Means?
I do, because the Marion next year, Marion Butts too. The subsequent year to this game that we're just talking about would represent the Chargers' only appearance in the Super Bowl. And Natron, I thought Natron was a rookie in '94, so he played in the '93 game, huh?
He did.
And do you remember? Yeah, Natron.
18 carries for 69 yards.
Yeah. He was their guy when they went to the Super Bowl. They were Stan Humphries. Was Stan Humphries their quarterback in this game? No, you already said it. It was John Freeze.
John Freeze.
Oh, so they're just one Stan Humphries away from the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they had their Super Bowl coach, Bobby Ross.
Correct. And I would have been in attendance the next time they played when it would have been one of Bobby Ross's last games. Be the 96 game because I know I was at that one.
Yeah, I was just looking here quick before we flip to this, see if anything exciting.
In the 93 game,
for the Bears?
Yeah, we brought him up. He had a huge game against the Chiefs.
Yep, he did not have a huge game against the Chargers. 11 carries for 32 yards,
but the Bears won, damn it, and stayed alive. Would not get eliminated from the playoffs until we were both in attendance. When Eric Kramer knocked him out as a member of the Detroit Lions. I think you brought that up. So you brought in some beers from the outside that frozen
inside my coat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they played December 14th, 1996.
Yeah. That's the one I was at.
The 7-7 Chargers against the 6-8 Bears.
Battle of the Mediocrities. So basically, one mediocre team, the Bears, that had already basically pissed away their hopes of a playoffs, dragged down another one. And I think with it brought down Bobby Ross. I think he was pretty much gone after that season. But was Tiny Handed Dave Craig still under center that late in the season?
Tiny Hands had a good game, 24-38, 217 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
He was a very competent quarterback in his 1 year at the Bears, seems to be my recollection.
Do you remember where he went to college?
Yeah, it doesn't even exist anymore. Try getting a transcript from there.
Milton College in Milton, Wisconsin.
Right? No longer there.
No longer
correct?
A thing.
Closed? Yeah.
Let's see. The Ultra back, Raymond, 21 carries, 64 yards. Rashawn Salaam, 5 carries for 7 yards. Who caught all the passes? Oh, Bobby Engram, 5 for 61. Michael Timpson, 5 for 51.
Bust.
Curtis Conway, 2 for 13, and a touchdown.
Bust.
Touchdowns Bust by Ryan book. Wet Knight, Bobby Engram, and Curtis Conway.
Yeah, good for them. I was there. I don't remember. I just remember, you know, December game. We won, and the chart. We got to spoil it for the Chargers. It felt like Bobby was trying to hang on there, only 2 years removed from a Super Bowl.
It was tied at the half, and then Wani's incredible adjustments took over, and the Bears rattled off 13 unanswered and won it 27-14, including two field goals by the great Jeff Jaeger.
Yeah. Well, number one before Justin Fields.
Let's see. So that was 96. Now we're off to 1999.
I immediately can remember this game as being the second of back-to-back games in which Jim Miller may have thrown for 400 yards.
Oh, is this right before he got tested positive for steroids?
Correct. It absolutely was. And the Bears won in overtime. And the other thing I remember about this game was that Junior Seau, moment of silence, was playing around with playing on offense.
Oh.
Like out of the backfield. And he caught, like, he had a ball, like, down towards the goal line. And do you remember Rico McDonald, Bears linebacker?
Yeah.
He put a fucking lick on Junior. And I was looking this up early when we started here because I'm like, oh, I'd like to find video of this.
Oh, no. Did he?
It was like the most.
Did he give Junior CTE?
I think he killed him. Oh, I mean, it was such a violent fucking. It would have been a penalized now. I'm sure. I can't find the video, but remember, it was definitely helmet to helmet. And that Junior Seau immediately popped back up to like getting it down. Like, yeah, I'm not fazed by it. Like, Seau kind of proved that he wasn't a guy. Like, he didn't protect himself because he's not a natural ball carrier in the NFL. And so he got the ball, and somehow, like, McDonald just. Absolutely crushed him. I almost felt bad for Salen, especially when he, you know, killed himself years later with CTE.
So this
anyway,
that was
I remember about that.
So Mike Riley came up with that brilliant idea to make Junior like a defense. Was he like a tight end?
It had to be a tight end. He caught one pass in the middle.
One pass for 2 yards in the game.
Yeah, and he got dropped like a fucking lead weight, man. And it was like, but he bounced back up too, which kind of shows you maybe his. Cortex had already been numbed, but that's all I remember about that game. And it was a wild overtime game, and it was like the brief moment in that otherwise like mediocre inaugural season of Dick Geron's, where we thought maybe the Bears might have a chance of making the playoffs. Unfortunately, in spite of Jim Miller's heroic performance the week before, and he definitely threw for 400 yards. Chris Boniel could not make a field goal in overtime. They did win this game in overtime. And that's probably contributed to Miller throwing for nearly 1,000 yards in 2 weeks. But
Miller was 25 of 38 for 357 yards.
No, 357.
One touchdown.
Yeah. Well, it just seemed like maybe for us, Andy, as Bears fans, in 1999, being a quarterback throw for 750 yards and back to that, it felt like 1,000 yards. It's like, what is this?
Well, we learned a bit of trivia on Sunday.
I heard it. About the Bears' opposing quarterback from last year.
The only
week.
Bear quarterback to ever throw for 300 yards in 3 consecutive games. And it's
Brian Hoyer.
God, it says every week there's a new, like, embarrassing record. You're like, oh.
Well, you know, if I could interrupt real quick to talk about the podcast, you brought up a simple but pretty interesting point early on that for everything around Tyler Bagent's performance on Sunday is that, yes, we know backup quarterbacks like nobody's business, right? Like we've had a whole like lifetime of backup quarterbacks, but why, there's not a rule they always have to be bad. It's like, no. It's just rare that he actually had a competent performance. Like, it's like, yeah, we got our hopes up with Peter Tom Willips, or we got our hopes up with, like, you know, Moses Marino and Steve Stenstrom, and they all suck. They just don't even fucking like, they're terrible. And then, so I know it's a low bar, but it does seem just almost unusual, even though it shouldn't be that unexpected. The law of averages would seem to dictate that, you know, a backup quarterback comes in and just, you know, does all right.
I mean, Tyson Bagent is clearly the best Bears backup since Steve Fuller.
Chase Daniel might like a word.
Yeah, he
and Steve
it.
Walsh,
he get a
remember.
Word. Yeah, Steve, remember, okay, Steve Walsh. Right, Steve Walsh won a road
Steve
playoff
Walsh
game.
And Steve Fuller are the only quarterbacks in their lifetime to win Bears
number,
road playoff games.
And they're right. going to, at some point, they're just going to have to cut Eddie Jackson because he can never stay healthy. And then Tyson can wear four, and then he can win a road playoff game.
And then we can retire it, yes.
Yeah, we could triple retire it.
Yes, for those three quarterbacks.
I mean, they all can't be Will Fuhrer, right?
Yes. Another
there's
going to
be some duds in there. They can't all be Will.
Harbaugh was four.
Jimmy Clausen. Chad Hutchinson.
He was four? Hutchinson
no,
was
not
four.
I'm just was naming off. Just well, Fuhrer was two. Right. I think.
Oh, he was two. He was two.
Clausen was.
You're right.
Was he two?
18, maybe. No, I thought he was double digits.
Did he get to where – had they not retired seven yet? Why do I feel like Jimmy Clausen?
Now, seven was retired when the old man died in 83. That's why Avellini got to wear it. And then actually they didn't retire it until they finally got rid of Avellini in 84.
What number was Jimmy with the Bears? Eight.
Jimmy Clausen, eight, not 18.
Eight.
Okay, so that's the old Cade McNown, Rex Grossman, Vince Evans.
Chad Hutchinson, nine.
Nine. Oh, it was half of what I thought.
Yeah, he was half
that's
good.
The Shane. That's the Shane Matthews, Jim McMahon.
Cade played in this game though. He was 0-1.
99. Okay.
Curtis Penis. Curtis Enos. 19 carries for 41 yards.
Oh Jesus! 2.02.
Marcus Robinson 6 for 163 and 30
Marcus
yards.
Is having himself
Bobby
a year
Ingram
that year.
8 for 121 and 52 along with 52.
Yeah, Jim Miller spread it around.
Yeah. Guess who played quarterback for the Chargers?
1999 was
a
it,
Bear great, a Bear immortal, proving Jim McMahon was
point,
not the only star quarterback that left
wait,
the Bears to go to
at
the Chargers.
At this point in time, Pastor, oh, was it Harbaugh? No, it was
yes.
a past or future.
Jim
it was
Harbaugh.
Harbaugh.
He was 29
of 46
for 273 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception.
I can't believe he was still quarterbacking in as late as 1990. Obviously, I saw it.
So he's the one who hung Junior out to dry.
He was. I thought Harbaugh, after he almost ridiculously took the Colts to a Super Bowl in 95 and that Hail Mary almost fell in Aaron Bailey's lap, that he was pretty much done within a year. I never would have guessed that
he started
to slog on until 99.
After he left Indy, he spent a year in Baltimore, where he started 12 games. Then he 2 years in San Diego, where he started 12 games in 99 and 5 games in 2000. And then he was done.
He made it all the way to the millennium. Holy crap. Well, 14-year career. Good for him, I guess. So the Bears have had two first-round draft picks at quarterback who later would start games for the Chargers. Good to know.
Another former Bear great, Jeff Graham, played for the
Love Jeff Graham.
Played for the Chargers. He caught 5 passes for 83 yards from Harbaugh.
I love Jeff
Chris
Graham.
Chris Penn?
He's very underrated.
Is Chris Penn an old Bear?
He was. Also Sean Penn's brother. Moment of silence for that, good. Chris Penn. Chris Penn, number 86 for the Bears. He,
what exactly were the
decent.
Chargers doing acquiring former Bears offensive players? You know what we should do? We should get those Bears guys. Those are pretty good. They're pretty good.
And then, like, meanwhile, there's Marcus Robinson in the midst of for the Bears' historic offensive season, right? Yeah, like, 1,300 yards that year. Crazy year, you think about it.
The leading tacklers for the Bears that day, three of them had eight solo tackles.
Jim Flanagan?
They were Tony Parrish, Barry Minter, and Rico McDonald.
Rico's the old veteran, I think. That
yeah, from
they brought on
born in Jamaica and played
Rico Pitt. Man.
And his brother was Devin McDonald, who played linebacker at Notre Dame.
Oh, I don't remember him.
He played, went to Notre Dame, graduated in 92. I remember Devin McDonald.
Might have been a freshman on the 88 national championship game.
Could have been.
Don't know.
I want to talk about this. So Mike Riley was the coach in 99. And their famous story that came out in that book, I think maybe we talked about this, I remember this crap, Seth Wickersham's book about the Patriots.
Maybe.
Bobby Bethard was the general manager for the Chargers.
And after having built the Washington dynasty.
And in the 2000 draft, they're getting down to the sixth round, and Mike Riley says, Bobby had promised him he would draft a quarterback somewhere in the draft. And Mike said, it was this kid that I recruited when I was at USC. But he didn't come to USC. He decided he wanted to go play at Michigan. We should draft him. I've been keeping tabs on him and his family. He had a good career at Michigan, but he's a better quarterback than people think. And Bobby's like, okay, sure. You can have him. So in the sixth round, let's see, which pick was this going to be? I had this queued up. With the 84th pick, Mike Riley had his little card with Tom Brady written on it, and Bobby said, no, it's too early. We're going to draft, we need this linebacker named Shannon Taylor from Virginia. He goes, we got another pick in the sixth round. We'll draft Tom then. Their pick, their second pick in the sixth round was the 205th pick. Tom Brady went 199, six picks ahead, and they drafted a quarterback, Jawan Sider from Florida A&M. That's who they got instead of Tom Brady.
I wonder, and this is kind of an absurd thought, if Bobby Bethard was so arrogant as to be like, well, I came from Washington where Joe Gibbs won three Super Bowls with three different mediocre quarterbacks. You don't really need to.
He's like, you have Jim Harbaugh.
That too. Maybe that's what he was thinking.
What do you need Tom Brady for? We already have him. You want a Michigan man? We got a Michigan man.
The hard part is that you're just burning a fifth round pick, so or sixth round pick. So like, yeah, why not draft a quarterback?
Oh my!
Out of Michigan. Yeah.
I didn't know this. This is why we do this. The three quarterbacks on this is amazing. The three quarterbacks on the 1999 Chargers, the ones who didn't need Tom Brady going into 2000. Here are their three quarterbacks.
Yep.
Hold on to your butts.
Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh. His backup, Eric Kramer.
Ooh.
Third-string quarterback, Moses Moreno.
Jackpot.
Who is the offensive coordinator? It's got to be. The offensive coordinator for the 1999 Chargers was Jeep Christ, who had been like the head coached with the Bears for years. He was like a quality control coach. I think he's Paul Christ's brother, the guy who used to coach at Wisconsin.
Okay.
In fact, I know he is because I'm looking at it, and he was born June 25th, 1962, in Madison, Wisconsin. And my aunt taught the Christ boys at Catholic school growing up
in
Madison. So that guy is like, oh yeah, I got all these guys. Look at all these players we can get. We can get Harbaugh, we can get Kramer, we can get Moses Moreno, we can get Jeff Graham, we can get Chris Penn.
I mean,
load them up.
To think that the same franchise once had Dan Fouts throwing the ball to John Jefferson and Kellen Winslow, that within two decades they would have three castoffs from a franchise that has been the avatar for inept quarterback play for a half century. That's too much. That's what I would consider a nadir for the San Diego.
There's franchise. One thing that gets left out of this story.
Jizz.
That's a 99 draft. So the next year,
the 99 draft was a quarterback draft too, That was the Cade McNown, Donovan McNabb, Keely Smith, Dante Culpepper draft. the Chargers pick.
I'm going to see what they picked at the first early on.
Tim Couch also. He was the first
Tim Couch for number one overall, and then Brady right. went 199. A year later, after stocking up on all those Bears, they had the – wait a minute.
Bears quarterbacks. After stocking up on all those Bears quarterbacks. I can't believe Moses Moreno actually – it didn't even sink in. He actually got a job after 98. As a rookie for the Bears.
Confused myself here.
Sorry.
When did they get? So that was 99. Oh. So they had. Here's who Harbaugh was. They had a rookie. They had a rookie quarterback in 98, who you might have heard of.
Oh, Ryan Leaf.
Ryan Leaf.
That's right.
Well, then he got hurt. That's right. He missed the whole 99 season. So he's coming back in 2000, which is probably why Bobby Bethard is like, who gives a shit who we who's our sixth pick on or a sixth round pick on Mike?
That's the missing piece.
But they already knew he was a. They already knew. They already were staring down the idea that he was a complete bust. He'd already yelled at the sports writer and he'd done all that shit.
Right.
That's right. Because I was confused. I was like, wait a minute. Because I clicked ahead to 2000 and their quarterbacks in 2000 were Ryan Leaf, Jim Harbaugh, and Moses Moreno.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute, when did they get Leaf? Well, that's why. Leaf was in 99. Leaf was out for the entire season with shoulder surgery, I think.
Interesting. Yeah, because then then shortly after is when they did the whole Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers thing. I mean, they've been pretty set at quarterback since then. I mean, obviously, the Bears, they've always been set at quarterback, but they've been pretty good for because the last.
Well, in 01, they got Drew Brees.
That's right. I'm sorry. I forgot about Brees, and they gave up on Brees when they got Rivers.
Doug Flutie.
Oh.
It Flutie and Brees. And they rode with that for how long did they have Drew? Just 2 years? Three?
Rivers was 04, 05, I think. Couldn't have been 05. It had to be 04.
They had Flutie and Brees, looks like, for 3 years.
That sounds right, because 04 was the Eli draft. That was the Phillip Rivers draft.
4 years. Brees played there for 4 years.
Okay.
25, they decided, all right, we're going to trade him. No, they just let him go, right?
Yeah. No. Go
because he was going to go.
4 years.
Nick Saban was going to sign him at Miami, and then they failed his physical because he got hurt in his last game, last regular season game. He fucked up his shoulder.
For the
Chargers.
For the Chargers.
And he was a free agent, and then Sean Payton ended up with him instead, and Nick Saban got Dante Culpepper instead.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, Nick Saban by that point should have been the Bear coach because Jerry Angelo tried to hire him to coach the Bears.
Huh.
No, I'm wrong again. But Drew was there a lot longer than I thought. Drew and Phillip Rivers played 1 year together.
Oh.
Philip basically sat. He only played in two games. Drew started all 16. That's here he got hurt. So they stuck with Phil, and they let Drew go.
Is that 04?
That was the 05 season.
Oh, wow. He was there a lot.
Drew Brees played 5 years in San Diego.
Okay.
And then 15 years with New Orleans. I guess his Saints career was so long, then when you think back, you think, well, he's probably only in San Diego for like 2 years. He's there for five.
Correct. That's a long fucking career. Jesus Christ.
And he was there starting. He was their number one starting quarterback for 4 years. He started 16, then 11, and then 15, and then 16 games. And they were terrible in 03, which is how they ended up with Phil, or Eli, and then Phil.
Well, they had the first pick, right, and traded down for Eli, or for Philip. So who was the quarterback when they helped christen New Soldier Field in 2003. I know I was at this game, because I went to like almost every game that first year of New Soldier Field.
It's gotta be Drew,
I just
right?
don't. I guess so, right? It has to be, obviously.
Unless he was hurt. It was. It was both. Drew 7 of 15, and Doug and Flutie Mania was back in town.
I saw Flutie again. I don't remember that. And the Bears quarterback would have been Cordell, I'm guessing.
Nope. Your buddy Crystal Chandelier.
Got it. Yeah, because Grossman, they hadn't taken Grossman out of the bubble wrap yet. He was a rookie that year.
So that was week 8.
The one in 03, or are we still on 99? No, 03, right?
So they didn't make the Bears play the first 7 games on the road, did they?
No, I don't mean christen it.
Oh, you just meant their first season.
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah. The Packers christened it on a Monday night game, and it was almost a logistical, like a fatal disaster because a lot of reasons. One of which is that they equally proportioned the men's and women's bathrooms. And they had to quickly change that on the fly. But no, it was later in the season.
That was not the 99 yard. Robert Brooks. No.
That was Packers game in 95.
95. 2 years later. No. 8 years before. Jesus. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this one is Dick Geron and Marty. Marty has taken over the Chargers.
Schottenheimer.
The Chargers are terrible. They're 1-7.
And yet.
After the Bears thumping.
And yet. Yeah.
The A-Train, 31 carries for 111 yards and 2 touchdowns. Dez White got 7 passes.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't know the A-Train really like had much use at throw, too.
No. Great receiving core, though. Dez White, Justin Gage, Bobby Wade, David Terrell.
You remember when Bobby Wade kept dropping punt returns off his, like, I was going to say off his face mask, but that would have been Leon Johnson. Just kept fumbling punt returns.
Yep. Oh, well, I know Chris Berman was at least excited for one moment of the highlights because the lone interception of the day for the Chargers was Sammy Davis.
Wow.
The Candyman can. You know, Boomer had an awful impression of Sammy that he could do.
I don't know that, but I would have assumed that to be the case. Yeah, I don't know if it was Candyman or he just tried to do an impression like, hey, cat.
Bears held LT in check. The Danian, 16 carries, 61 yards, 4 catches for 21 yards.
Okay.
They led 10-0 at the half and cruised to a 20-7 win for their third win of the season. They were 3-5. Way to go, Dick. Good job.
Yeah. A little too late to save Dick Geron's job.
Oops. Then they would play again in 07.
He's an opener. Defending NFC champions. 07. And
it was a barn burner.
Didn't have much offense going.
14-3.
Yeah.
That is not the first quarter score. That's the final. You know who's coaching the Chargers by now? Let's see. One, I wonder, was his brother offensive?
Brother.
It was. It was a match, the Turner boys. Going head to head. Norv is coaching the Chargers and Ron is offensive coordinating the Bears. I wonder, I think their mom had like a polo shirt that was half Chargers.
Right.
You can't wear a uniform because you never want to wear. So she has a polo that's half Bears and half Chargers sitting in the stands.
Like Mama Palsy, but the coach's version.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Rex 12 of 23 for 145 yards.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers, 12 of 31 for 190.
I just remember, I feel like the Bears at one point in the game got stopped on a 4th and goal at the 1 or something. That's the only thing I can think of in this game. I just remember, Bears for only the second time in our life are, defending conference champions, having played the Super Bowl 7 months earlier. And so, but I kind of felt like we didn't really have a lot of high hopes. And the Chargers were pretty good. They would have been favorites in that game. But the Bears could do nothing on offense.
There was one touchdown pass in the game. Do you know who threw it?
Not Phil?
No.
Was it Ed Luther?
It was not Ed Luther. It was a guy who, for his career, was 8 of 12 for 143 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Oh, LT.
With Danian Tomlinson.
Yeah, I believe he actually rivals Peyton statistically in the running backs in the passing categories. I believe we've covered some of that before.
He threw, so it was, Bears were up 3-0 at the half on a Robbie Gould 27-yarder at the beginning of the second quarter.
Robbie Gould.
With, boy, this thing was, with 45 seconds to go in the third, LT threw a 17-yard touchdown pass to Antonio Gates, so Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer. And then 9 minutes to go in the game, LT scored on a 7-yard run, and the Bears lost 14-3.
Such is life.
Now we zip ahead. Oh, no.
Yeah, I was at this game,
to 2011. This is
we've
one
talked
of those,
about it. It was very bittersweet.
What could have been?
Yep.
Let's see.
Yeah, I will say it. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that when the Bears and Chargers kicked off, whatever date this was in 2011, sometime in November, that the Jay Cutler was on an MVP trajectory, and that's not me talking out of my ass. He would definitely be in the hunt for that when this game rolled around. And it was a good matchup. It's facing Phillip Rivers, who himself had never gotten over the hump and never would, but was pretty much at his peak. It's a great matchup. Two contending teams from each respective conference. I know that sounds funny for the Bears, but they were, you know, half away from reaching the Super Bowl the year before, and they were, what, 7-2 coming into this game? 6-2?
Right. Through their first 9 games, the Bears were 7-2. Jay Kidd was completing. He'd thrown for 2,319 yards. So he was well on his way to, he was going to be the first Bear to throw for 4,000
yards. 4,000.
He had thrown 13 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions, which for him was a small
for
number.
Him.
He'd been sacked 52 times the year before. He'd only been sacked 23 times. So he was on pace for 40. let's see. How did he do while he played in this game?
I remember.
He was 18 of 31 for 286 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. Very efficient. Extremely
and
competent.
He threw an interception to, who caught it? Antoine Kaysan.
God damn it.
Who returned at 64 yards but didn't score a touchdown. And the reason he didn't score a touchdown is Jay tackled him and broke his
thumb.
And missed the rest of the game.
And we were sent on a journey as fans to hell. Because the other thing was that they were 7-2 and they won that game, right? So they're 8-2 after that game? Or no, they're 6-2 going in.
7-3. They were 7-2 going in.
So they're 8-2 because they won the game.
Oh, they did win the game. So yeah, you're right. So they were 6-3 coming in.
Okay, so they're 7-3 afterwards. But still, you know, it was like they had a soft underbelly of the schedule coming in. They only needed to win 3 games. I know Lovey lost his job, but he won 10 games and didn't make the playoffs. But they had 6 cracks at 3 wins. And we figured, well, you know, if we could just win those 3, and they were not stiff opponents for the most part, that Jay would actually be able to come back in time for the playoffs. It was not like a lacerated kidney injury. It was a thumb that just needed like 6 weeks to heal. Which is just about, it was actually talked that if they hadn't blown those 3 straight AFC West games subsequent to the Chargers, which would have been the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Chiefs, or Raiders, Chiefs, Broncos, if they won 1 or 2 of those and stayed in contention, that Cutler would have actually come back before the end of the season, but they just completely bottomed out, and it wasn't even worth it for Jay to come back. So, yeah, very bittersweet recollection when I think of this game, because it was kind of a high point of the Cutler era. Never really achieved those heights.
I'm trying to see when in the game he threw the interception.
I'm wondering if maybe your memory might be a little conflated because there is the interception. I don't know.
Is this just one he broke on a helmet?
You said that before they got broke on an interception, but then I thought it was when he made a pass. I don't know exactly the play. I don't know if anyone knows. I think there was one of those things where
he played the whole game.
Yeah, exactly. There was like no clue even walking out of the stadium that like there was any concern. Like the Bears were fucking on their way to the Super Bowl.
I always thought that my memory is that he trying to make the tackle on an interception, and that's with 10 minutes to go in the game. And after that, the Bears were up.
I would stay up.
Because actually, the Bears, it was a touchdown saving tackle because Phillip Rivers, two plays later, threw an interception to Major Wright. So the game was basically over. And let's see, Jay threw one. He only threw two passes the rest of the game because they were running the clock out.
Maybe it was then. Yeah. And he didn't want to say it because he was so pissed at himself, rightfully so, because Jay, if anything else, his Achilles heel was throwing fatal fucking interceptions off.
Well, and he'd also taken all that shit for
the year before.
Yeah.
Taking off the second half when he had a blown out whatever.
He could walk that dog. Remember that? The picture of him flipping off the camera? He's walking Chris and Cavalier's
I think from that point,
dog.
I feel it just occurred to me now that from that point forward, Cutler was nothing but a cock tease. He was the real deal up until that point, man. It could have, could have worked out differently. It just didn't.
Let's see. They played again in 2015.
Don Fox, I'm checking out.
Matchup of star teams, the 2-5 Bears against the 2-6 Chargers. Bears. John Fox against Mike McCoy, his former offensive coordinator with the Broncos.
Oh,
so then he brought the great Adam Gase with him to Chicago.
Okay,
to be the Jay Whisperer. And they got this is the good year? Yeah, this is the good year they got out of Jay. He had a good game. 27 of 40 for 345 yards and two touchdowns. Phillip Rivers, 26 of 42 for 280 for the Chargers. The Bears won 22-19 in San Diego. That's the last time they've played there. Last time they'll ever play there. Maybe, unless they move back. Martellus Bennett caught Elshon caught 10 passes for 151 yards. Martellus, 8-57.
Alshon, the guy who was like fourth or whatever in franchise history for receiving yards, even though he only played like 4 years.
Third, I think, right? Just behind Johnny. Third.
I'm looking it up.
Dark days for the Chargers. Their leading rusher was Danny Woodhead. That's never a good sign. And then the last time the teams played.
I don't even want to talk about it. It's a painful one. We were having my son's birthday party at a roller rink. And so it was fine. I was able to watch the game because the kids were old enough. But this is – do you remember this game?
Yes.
This is another team that is coming off a playoff, Bears with Mitch in his second season. We go 13-3, whatever, make the playoffs, come in the next year. And this is just a game that they just seem to just like fumble away. Not literally, but just the coaching, everything. I can't remember the details. I just remember like they had the lead and all they had to do was just like be a competent adult professional offense. And somehow Mitch gave the ball back to San Diego. I don't remember the specifics because I probably tried to block it out. And it was kind of the beginning, and it just kind of kicked off. That whole season was so frustrating, and it just basically sent us down another dark hallway for a few years.
With so the Bears had a 16-10 lead going into the fourth quarter. On the first possession, Mitch threw an interception to Casey Hayward at the Chargers 43 that was returned 37 yards. The Bears dodged a bullet because Chargers ended up missing a field goal. So it's like, okay, we're good. Still have a 6-point lead.
Right.
Get the ball back with 10:53 to go. Mitch is sacked and fumbles. And it was recovered by Melvin Ingram and returned to the Bears 26. Chargers take the lead then on a 11-yard touchdown pass from Rivers to Austin Eckler. So they're up 17-16. See, the Bears have the ball for go on a 6-minute drive. And they get all this is Matt Nagy to the best. So they get the ball with 8:04 to go. Let's see. So they run Cordero, on an end around. David Montgomery a couple of times. But anyway, they start to move the ball. With 4:49 to go, Mitch completes a 16-yard pass to Trey Burton. So now they're at the Charger 47. They get to the 40, and they have 3rd and 10. They have 3rd and 10 at the 40. Mitch gets sacked. So now it's 4th and 16 with 2:09 to go. And what do?
This is what it was. It was on Nagy, not Mitch. Though Mitch played shittily.
They punted. Like, all
right. Which you have to do, right? It's 4th and super long, right?
Yeah, 4th and 16. Now we need the defense to save them. First play, Phillip Rivers sacked by Khalil Mack. Second,
Soldier Field's going crazy.
Second play is a short completion to Keenan Allen. Bears called their first timeout. Then another short or a completion to Hunter Henry for 11 yards. So now it's 4th and 1. He gets tackled by Kyle Fuller, 1 yard short. Bears use their second timeout. Chargers have to punt it back. So it worked. Matt kicked it. Now they're going to get the ball back in good shape.
One timeout.
The punt is a 58-yarder, but Tariq Cohen runs it back 17 yards.
So, all right.
So now the Bears have the ball on their own 35 with 1:33 to go. So Mitch incomplete to Trey Burton, but then complete to Taylor Gabriel for 22 yards. Complete to Allen Robinson for 9. They have to use their now the Chargers are calling timeout because they think they might need to get the ball back to go score. Because
the Bears are at the they're already in field goal range based on your description. 34-yard line.
They're at the 34. Yep, they're in field goal range. So then the Bears are playing for the field goal. David Montgomery, 2 yards. Mitch runs around left
end. That's what it was. Nagy just like – because the Chargers – okay, go on. Sorry.
So Mitch runs around left and gets a first down at the Charger 21. Chargers call timeout. With 43 seconds to go, Nagy just lets the clock run down to 4 seconds, calls his final timeout. Out comes Eddie Pinheiro. Misses a field. Yep. Bears lose.
Right. That's what it was. Eddie had been the hero a few weeks earlier in Denver.
Yep.
It was probably, but I think it was that Nagy to just go for another first down. Get a little closer. When he's settling up for a 34-yard field, they're going to get the – it worked out to where San Diego was not going to get the ball back, but I don't know. It's easy to criticize that in retrospect. I can't remember what I was mad at. I was just frustrated.
Their 3 fourth quarter possessions were interception, fumble, missed field goal.
Yeah.
And again, they lost
careless. Careless coaching, careless execution, careless, Mitch. I don't even remember the specific interceptions, if they were flukes or what, but just disgusted, dismayed. The usual feelings.
It was also the 3rd loss in a row.
Beginning of the end for Nagy, I guess you could say.
The Saints game had been something embarrassing happened in the Saints game too the week before.
Was that in New Orleans?
No, it was at home. This whole run started when they went to London to play the Raiders.
Yes.
That's
another game. They felt like they were careless about that.
The Raiders ran out of wide receivers. And they
had all tight ends.
Gruden just loaded up with tight ends and the Bears couldn't stop him. Bears had to leave Roquan at home because of something he did that they wouldn't say that what he did.
Yeah. Just a franchise in disarray.
So by the time they lose this game to the Chargers, the fans are like super pissed.
Yeah. They have that in common. They played in 2011 and they played in 2019. Very rare. Both times the Bears and Chargers played, or two of the last three times or years, in which the Bears are actually coming off a rare playoff appearance.
Let's see. Now they'll be in beautiful LA for the first time ever playing the Chargers.
Ever.
Let's see. So interim coaches in Chargers history, they do have some.
Was Bobby Ross, did he happen to get fired before the end of the 96 season? I'm guessing not.
He quit, didn't he?
No, he quit the Lions.
Oh, he quit the Lions.
Just like Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders,
that's right.
He like one of the few Lions coaches who took them to the playoffs and actually quit during a winning season.
Okay, so he didn't, but his the guy who succeeded him did not finish out his second season.
That's Marty, right?
No.
No. It's somebody between Marty and him. And,
this was a guy who a Bears defensive coordinator may have punched on the sideline during a playoff game.
Kevin Gilbride?
Kevin Gilbride coached the Chargers for parts of two seasons.
Oh, the Chargers. That's right.
He was replaced then for the last 10 games of the 98 season by June Jones.
Ooh. June Jones.
So June was an interim coach.
I remember June.
Ron Waller was an interim coach, whoever that is.
Mm.
I think that's it. They haven't had.
They rival the Bears.
They fire a lot of coaches, but they're the Bears. They make them finish.
I would guess, by the way, that not that you jumped there, but like I would guess that Don Coryell would be the winningest coach. But then I'm wondering if like Marty wormed his way in there long enough.
It's not Don Coryell, and it's not.
And it's not Marty.
How about this?
I'm looking it up now.
Norv Turner. Now Norv is not their all-time winningest coach, but Norv won more games than Marty. He also coached 16 more. No, their winningest coach is their first coach.
Oh yeah,
Sid Gilman, 86 wins.
Even with
Don
Coryell
was 69-56.
Okay.
He won three of the seven playoff games he coached in. They've not had a lot of
success. They've only won seven playoff games in their history?
No, Don Coryell coached in seven.
Oh, right, right. But I don't think the Chargers have won too many. Well, they probably have, I guess.
Last
20 years, where
Gilman
more,
was
more
1-4, Coryell was 3-4. So what's that? That's 4-8.
Four.
Bobby,
four and
they didn't go again until Bobby Ross. So
okay.
He was 3-3. So that's 7-11.
7-11.
Then they didn't go again. Marty was 0-2.
7-13.
Norv was 3-3. Ooh, Norv.
10-16.
And Mike McCoy was 1-1.
11-17.
And Anthony Lynn was 1-1. Brandon Staley's 0-1.
12-19.
12-19.
That's pretty undistinguished.
So 31 playoff games in 52 seasons. No, 62 seasons.
I wonder where that would rank with the Bears. I could tally the Bears pretty quick. 77, 79, that's one each. There was 2-84, that's four. There's 3-85, 7-8, 9. They're probably more than the Bears in those 50 years. The Bears peter out after the 90s. I don't think the Bears are barely 20, so, yeah.
So, yeah, so if you take out the five Sid Gilman playoff games, because those all happened pre-71.
And the AFL, too, which is being charitable if you give that to them, because that was a circus.
Even with that,
league.
They have more playoff games than the Bears.
They would, although no Super Bowl championship. So if you were to rank the teams even, you know, along the way, you'd have to put the Bears ahead of them.
Yeah, and only one Super Bowl ever.
Correct, and they got humiliated
They got beat so bad they shouldn't even claim
the Patriots.
It. Steve Young is still throwing touchdown passes.
I believe Steve Young set the record for most touchdowns. He outdid Montana. He had five or six or just something. It was a video game. That game was That was like that was the peak. I mean, it was going to have to draw to an end. We talked about how we've talked about how much dominant the NFC was in the 1980s, and that lasted into the 90s. Really, just different faces and like just increasingly ridiculous differentials in the Super Bowl. Pretty much capped off by that Chargers one.
Steve Young threw 6 touchdown passes.
He did throw 6. Yeah, it's got to be a record. It's ridiculous.
It is.
A
it is
the Super Bowl.
It's the record until this year when Tyson Bagent throws 7.
And maybe it'll be in the rematch after this Sunday.
Who's the all-time leading passer in Chargers history?
If it's not Fouts, it might be Philip Rivers, actually, right?
It's Philip Rivers. And okay, he's got a few more than who's the Bears?
It's it's Jay, which is, I think it's 23,000. I always have to look it up, yeah. So.
Phil, a few more. Phil threw for 59,271 yards.
Wow. And I'm sure Fouts also would be the Bears' all-time leading passer. Oh,
yeah. Left-handed, he would have been the Bears' all-time
leading passer. Cutler, 23,443. I'm guessing Fouts
Phil's
and
nearly
Rivers
three times that much. And 397 touchdown passes. Jay threw 398 touchdown passes? Probably not. But we got him here. They're all-time leading rusher.
Right, it's got to be LT, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty good number. 12,490.
Yeah.
138 touchdowns. That's a lot of touchdowns.
He's an all-time great, no doubt.
Their all-time leading receiver is not a wide receiver.
Is it? It can't be called.
It's also not
Antonio Gates.
It's Antonio Gates, 11,840 yards.
Which is funny. They have two he's in the Hall of Fame by now, right? He's got to be. But they have two Hall of Fame tight ends now because Winslow's definitely got to be a Hall of Famer.
Yep. He's in the Hall of Fame. Antonio Gates, who didn't play college football.
Correct, but he did play D1 college basketball.
Yeah. Kent State.
Was it D1?
Kent State.
Was it D1? Okay. Kent State? He was a Mac?
Yeah. Maction.
I think you told that.
Best player in Mac history.
I'm sorry, Ron Harper or maybe Kenny Battle?
Talking about the best football player in Mid-American Conference history didn't play football in the Mid-American Conference.
That's almost like the most Mac thing ever.
I mean, because we don't want to claim Roethlisberger, right? Fuck that guy.
We do not. Yeah. How about Charlie Fry? I'm just kidding.
Rocky Lombardi, maybe.
Hey, there's still time.
Jordan Lynch, you ever play for the Bears? You ever play running back for the Bears in a real game?
He did, in preseason games.
I like how that counts. What else we got? Winningest coach, Sid Gilman. All-time leading scorer? It's not Rolf Benerschke.
It's not Rolf? Somebody more recent then, obviously. Some place kicker of more recent vintage. Can't think of one.
Notre Dame.
Oh, John Carney.
John Carney.
Yeah, not that recent, actually. That's one of my childhood memories is Carney, like, blowing kicks for Notre Dame until he finally kicked one that beat Southern Cal, I think, 1983 or so.
All right. So, Jay, you said, leads with Jay would be the fourth. If he'd played all those games for the Chargers, he'd be their fourth all-time leading passer.
So that's a great question because obviously Rivers and Fouts are obvious.
Yeah, Fouts,
so
like, 43,000.
Don't tell me it's Breeze in his 5 years.
No, but
– No, because that'd be a lot of
Drew threw for 12,000 yards in those 5 years. He's
okay,
six.
That would – okay. Wow.
We talked about him.
From the AFL? It's not from the AFL?
Yeah, we talked about the very first game. We talked about him. Good old number 21.
Oh,
John Hadle.
What the hell was his name? Oh, John Hadle.
26,938 yards.
I didn't know he was such a long – I only know him as a Notre Dame – was he a Heisman winner? No, maybe not a Heisman winner. But just a – I did not know him as a – no. Who
he didn't go to Notre Dame.
Who am I thinking? Who are we thinking of?
Lattner or Johnny Lujack or
– No, I know Johnny Lattner. I held his Heisman.
John Hadle went to Kansas. Story.
Okay.
And it looks like he
some dude who
played for the Packers and the Oilers too, 1 year with the Rams, but mostly with the Chargers.
So apparently that's how we know John Hadle is.
While you're looking that up, I'm going to read off the top 10 Charger quarterbacks, top 10 passing leaders: Philip Rivers,
yep.
Dan Fouts, J- John Hadle, Stan Humphries, Justin Herbert, Drew Brees, Jack Kemp, Doug Flutie, John Freeze, and Jim Harbaugh.
Harbaugh.
Number 10. 4,177 yards gets you 10th. You know why it gets you 10th on the Chargers all-time leading list? Because for their most of their franchise, they've had three dudes throwing for 100,000 yards. The reason the Bears have so many guys on it is they use right. eight guys a season. The Chargers for like, what is right. this, 15, 14, Incredible. And 10 years. So what is that, 29, 39 of their 62 it's, years, it was well three guys, Fouts, Rivers,
their,
and Hadle.
Half of their history. Right. We're even like, yeah, Sid Luckman represents like 4% of the Bears' history. By the way, I did look it up. John Huer was the Notre Dame Heisman oh, yeah. winner, 1964. Yeah, H-U-A-R-T. My bad. You know, I grew up, we grew up in a Notre Dame household, so I'm ashamed that I did not. I conflated the two, but.
Let's see where Johnny Morris would be on the Chargers all-time receiving list.
Johnny Morris and his barely over 5,000 yards receiving?
He would be 10th all-time in Chargers okay. history. Behind Who's Antonio that? Gates.
Yep.
Keenan Allen, who's still active.
Wow.
Bambi, Lance Allworth, Charlie Joyner.
Wow.
Gary Garrison, Kellen Winslow, Wes Chandler, Anthony Miller. Not that Anthony Miller. Not
the
good
Bears.
Old number. Good old number 83. Not good old number 17 for the Bears. Malcolm Floyd, of recent vintage, and Mike Williams, who probably, if we, certainly, had he not blown out his knee in week two, would have relegated Johnny to 11th charts. On this list.
Yeah.
LT came within 1,000 yards of Johnny. What a franchise we root for.
Which one are we talking about?
The Bears.
Chargers or Bears?
I guess I'd rather have the Bears history than the Chargers. Chargers are cool uniforms. Give them that.
Yeah, the lightning bolts. Yeah, they were a team I always sort of admired growing up.
So
they were pretty damn good.
Jim Harbaugh is on he's the third leading passer in Bear history.
And the 10th for the storied.
We might as well look and see where he ranks for the Colts.
Well, he wasn't there that long.
We'll need these facts for the press conference when he's installed as the Bears head coach here at the end of the season. What the hell is the abbreviation for Indianapolis? It's not IND?
IND? BAL.
Why didn't that work? Oh, CLT. Kinky.
Hey. Hello.
Career leaders passing. Where's Jim Harbaugh? Dun, 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 dun. Number 7.
Well, the Colts have another one that, like, you know, Cutler would be like 5th because they had Unitas and Manning.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnny 16 years and Peyton 13.
And then probably Andrew Luck would be the Bears' all-time leading passer, probably. Maybe not. No, that's
close.
Pushing it.
What was
that's
Jay?
Not true.
Luck is 23,671.
Jay for the Bears was 23,443.
Yeah, so Jay would be 4th. He'd be ahead of Burt Jones and Jack Trudeau and Jeff George.
Well, there you go.
Former Bears star.
I also wanted to – I forgot his name for a minute, but like in that top 10 Chargers one where LT was 11th, John Jefferson – probably was like 4th at one point with his. He was only there for like 3 or 4 seasons, but he was so ridiculous that Josh Jefferson probably had more receiving yards in 3 years with the Chargers than Johnny Morris did for the Bears. Just like Justin Jefferson has done the same in less than 3 years with the Vikings, I believe. Right?
Yeah, John Jefferson.
Is that correct?
3 seasons, 45 games, 3,431.
Only 3,000, but that's ridiculous for like right out of the gate as a rookie. And then, of course, the best thing is that.
How about this, though? 37 games. No, wait. How many is 45 games? 36 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's just had a nose to the end zone, I guess, is more of the point. Yeah, kids, if you're ever bored, YouTube some of those Chargers tapes from the early 80s. They were they definitely stood out.
John Jefferson is 3rd in Charger history in yards per game. Really, he's second because Lance Allworth was first at 87 yards. Number two on the list is Al Williams, who played three games. So I don't think you qualify. So John Jefferson, second in Charger history in yards per game. So had he stuck around, not been
but he wanted
sent
to, he
to
wanted
the...
To get, yes, he wanted to get paid.
Green Bay.
And then they shipped him off to Green Bay, and then he just tanked, which is kind of endears me to him. He actually showed up in one of their rare playoff games. But, yeah, he was his career just disappeared once he went to Green Bay. That was back when Green Bay was a black void that we remember so well from our youth, Andy.
Yeah, I hope it's on its way back to that. That would be.
Yeah, one can hope.
All right, well, that's the Chargers.
I'm all out of Chargers thoughts myself, so.
But big game for the Bears. Got to win to keep the series lead. All important.
Right.
Don't want them tying that up.
There's a lot at stake.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Andy.
Many of us have herpes.